I'm Christina Barr, the Executive Director of Nevada Humanities.
And I'm Alan Deutschman, a professor of journalism at the University of Nevada, Reno.
And we're joining forces to launch a new occasional series here on KUNR to showcase some of the amazing creative thinkers we have here in our region, both homegrown people and thinkers from around the nation who are visiting our area. And we're calling this program The Creative Edge.
It's National Poetry Month, and to launch our program, we've asked a very special poet to join us today. Please welcome Dr. Joe Crawley.
Well, thank you, Alan, and thank you, Christina, for the invitation and the introduction. It's a pleasure to be here, especially on kickoff day.
Thanks, Joe. You probably know Joe as the former president of the University of Nevada, but we also know Joe as an accomplished poet, and he's just published a book of poetry called Hats Off to the Cap.
Joe, would you be willing to maybe kick us off today by reading one of your poems from your new book?
Yes, I would. It's called State of the Fourth Estate, and I think people will know that the Fourth Estate is the newspaper, television, radio estate. All right, State of the Fourth Estate. The press, my friends, is under heavy stress. Tough to stay in touch, there's so much of it. News, views, advice, the such and such of it. Oracle reporters, pen-named bloggers, Twitter litterers, talk show pettifoggers, those who take the truth down cul-de-sacs while substituting manufactured facts. More media freedom? Yes. Solid content? Less.
Joe, thank you. I think, you know, I have known that you are a poet now for a few years because I've had the pleasure of hearing you read a few times. But I am curious to know, how did you come to poetry? Were you a closet poet before you became more of a public poet out of the closet?
Well, I suppose in a way that would be the case. I love words, and that's what got me into poetry. But I also wrote doggerel, which is a form of poetry, as you may know, that is frowned upon by the poets who really are very serious about their work and others' work. And it's a form of poetry, if you will, allow it to be categorized in that way, that allows all kinds of things that you don't find in most poems. But it's fun. I mean, there really aren't any rules. It's supposed to be humor. You can do whatever you want. I think it's frequently thought that people who write doggerel do not have the souls of poets, and that may be true. So anyway, I finally got retired on my fourth try and said, why don't I see if I can take up a more serious kind of poetry? And so I asked Gail Marie Palmer, a wonderful friend and professor of English here, if she would allow me into the workshop that she teaches regularly. And I suspect with some considerable hesitation, she let me in. And there I was, and that was the start of my, I don't want to call this a career, but it's certainly a change in my life.
You found the soul of a poet.
Joe, what was it like being in a class with young people, with undergraduates, and being a student again after having been a political science professor and a university president for several decades?
It was just wonderful to be with young folks, and these almost all of the students in the class, and they were typically around 15, were in their teens and early 20s, occasionally somebody, not my age, because nobody was that old, but would sign up. And I did not disclose my identity. I was just Joe. I wanted them to just think of me as this old guy, Joe. And I think they did for a while, but there was a woman in the class who discovered in the university bookstore a kind of farewell book that I wrote for Black Rock Press that was mainly little memoir pieces and some letters, that sort of thing. And it unfortunately didn't sell well because my photo was on the cover. And so But she bought it, and that was a giveaway. So now I was Joe, the former president, and a young fellow in the class. And then I'll shut up. But this was a wonderful story because he said, he wrote, this is a class where you critique everybody else's work and everybody critiques yours. And he wrote me a little note and said, I am sorry, Dr. Crowley, but I cannot criticize the work of a former president of this university. And I wrote him back and said, that was history. That was then. This is now. I'm just Joe, just like you are. God, I can't remember his name. But I said, please, just regard me as Joe. I can't get any better if you don't tell me where I'm lacking. And pretty soon, the class accepted that, and word gets around. And I didn't have that problem again.
Joe, a number of the poems in your new book are autobiographical. How do you use poetry to reflect on your own life, to tell your own personal story?
Well, really, it's kind of an opportunity, unless you want to take out all the baggage that constitutes your history as a person and write an autobiography, which I don't do and I don't much like to read autobiographies. So you can do it in a shorter way in a poem. And I just happened to have a wonderful childhood in a small Iowa town with plenty of interesting adventures. And the life of a small town was so rewarding for a young person. And I just have really pleasant memories about it. And I seldom wrote about it or talked about it. So it was an opportunity.
I think, Joe, you've talked a little bit about what you refer to as mystery poetry, and you've said that you're not really a mystery poet. And I'm curious to know what you mean by that, and just a little bit about how you connect with your readers and what you want your readers to take away from your work.
Well, really, in almost every type of writing that I have done over the years, including sports writing when I was younger, a lot younger, the waves that you kind of get to an audience, for me, is to tell a story. So I'm a storyteller, and I think it has to do in part with whatever is passed down genetically by my Irish forebears. The Irish are pretty good storytellers and go back a long ways. And so I'm a narrative poet. I tell a story, and it's pretty clear. There needs to be some metaphorical writing, but it doesn't have to be wholly metaphorical, because I don't want people, if I'm reading it or if they're reading it, to have to stop and say, no, wait a minute, what is this metaphorical expression? There's a lot of, and I don't mean the word mystery to say bad things about people who write this kind of poetry, because there are all kinds of poetry for people to write. But these are poems that are written in ways that you're just not going to understand unless you spend a lot of time at it. It may just be me that I don't have the capability or the mentality or the smarts to write that kind of poem, but I'll read them and then go back to writing narrative poetry.
Joe, do you have any advice for closet poet administrators who are trying to find their poetic souls?
I think it lies in the realm of setting priorities. If you want to do something like that, if you happen to be talking about someone you know really well, like yourself, you are a good writer. You have a way with words, but you can't do it if you don't say. As I finally said to myself, however old I was 9 years ago, it ain't going to happen if I don't make it happen. And that really is the key. You can think about it forever, but if you don't put it up there close to the top or at the top of your priority list to develop that talent which lurks within you, you got to say, okay, I'm going to be serious about this. It's setting aside time. That's what it takes.
Joe, thank you. Mm-hmm. Joe Crowley is the author of the new book of poetry, Hats Off to the Cap, and you can hear Joe reading selections from his book on Wednesday, April 27th at Sundance Books and Music at 7 o'clock p.m. in Reno.
Joe, thank you so much for being with us here today on The Creative Edge.
Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here. especially with two good friends.